Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Before we get started, just a quick note to say that some of the names in this podcast have been changed to protect their identities, but the stories you are about to hear are very real indeed. Please check the episode show notes for trigger warnings, as listener discretion is advised. If you would like to be a part of our now award-winning podcast, we would love to hear from you. Do get in touch with your stories, affair@curvemedia.com. Welcome to The Affair Podcast. I'm Anna Williamson. Now, if you don't know me, I'm a relationship therapist, coach, and TV personality. Now, this podcast will unveil the secrets behind modern day affairs as we explore everything from emotional affairs to rebuilding trust after betrayal. One in five people have admitted to having an affair, but it's a topic that is rarely explored and remains taboo because it sparks such powerful emotions and judgments. Each episode features a different real-life affair story told by the people involved and offers insights into the emotions, causes, and consequences of infidelity in today's world. From the motivations behind affairs to the impact on relationships, we'll uncover the raw truth behind one of the most painful aspects of human relationships. So, without further ado, let's meet today's guest. Andy, welcome to the Affair Podcast.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you today?
Today is a good day. It's feeling positive and happy.
Good. Well, I'm delighted to hear that because when we first jumped on this call, you said you're a very pragmatic man. And, I know that you've been through a lot. You know, it's been a tricky time in life recently with, various things, and these things are very much sent to try us. So I'm very grateful that you have come on the podcast today to share with us your experiences of infidelity. And in particular, we get a lot of people that listen to the podcast asking for male voices. And we do have, guys that come on and talk about their experiences from all the different perspectives of infidelity. And it's lovely to have that balance because we do get a lot more women, which is wonderful. So it's particularly, I'm particularly grateful that you've come on today. What made you want to come on to The Affair today, Andy?
I suppose like a lot of people who've been through infidelity and have been exposed to affairs, when you're trying to rebuild self and trying to get stronger, you lean on whatever resource is available. And I found your podcast and I found it really helpful because it was real people telling real stories rather than what you read in the internet. It was just, and it reached out to me. And then I said, well, maybe a little male voice might just bring something different. And because I've grown as a person, and I suppose I know how low you can get as a result, and that's what I'd like to share if I can.
I really appreciate that, and I know that people listening will also really appreciate that, because we all know that affairs are so complex, they're so different, there really is no one size fits all. And as you say, to have all of these different real life experiences and accounts, I know from all the overwhelming feedback, and we're now an award-winning podcast, but that's purely due to the strength of incredible people like yourself, Andy, that are brave enough and willing enough to share, you know, what's happened to them, and for people to hopefully understand, demystify, maybe shake a bit of thinking, think about what they might do differently, or you know, put themselves into those shoes. So thank you. That's an enormous compliment. So in an affair, as we know, there are typically three positions, three protagonists, if you like: the person who is cheating, the cheater, the cheatee, the person who is the affair, and then the other person, the person who's been cheated on. So which perspective are you talking from today?
So I was the person betrayed on, or one of those betrayed on. So.
Mm-hmm. So you were cheated on?
Yeah.
Who by?
So I was with my ex-wife for 20 years, married for 17 at the time of discovery. Never saw it coming.
And many people say that, and I think that's a really honest way to frame it, because so many people say, well, how did you not know? But the thing is, you don't know what you're not looking for. You don't see what you're not seeking. So a long relationship, 20 years, 17 years. So can you take us back to when you first met and those early days of dating, early days of marriage? What was that like for you?
So I met my ex-wife in 2002. I was in Ireland, and she was originally from the UK, but had moved back for work reasons and education. Met on a night out, like we did back then, and it grew into something really lovely, really nice. 3 years almost to the day we got married. And it was, life was good. Like I would have walked on hot coals for her. I felt like when we try and identify ourselves as a person, I wasn't a football player. I wasn't a keen artist or anything like that. I was a husband and I was a dad. And that was my key identifiers as a human in this world.
So it sounds like you were, as you say, to walk over hot coals. I know there'd be many people listening going, oh, you know, wow, I did, you know, little melt there. What was your wife like back then, you know, towards you? Was she reciprocating that level of deep love that clearly you just demonstrated that you felt?
That's a question. It's a really good question because I've asked myself that a million times over. I do think she did. I genuinely think that there was genuine love. She went through her own tough times, as we did as a couple, because of different changes in life. And not to jump too far ahead, but I think there was a genuine, deep connection.
I mean, how did your wife back then, how did she show you love? How did you know that she loved you?
God, I have not asked myself that. I just, like, we were very close, like we could have the most private conversations. I could be completely and utterly myself. And I believed there was no other reason to be anyone else other than me. And that's, I suppose, for me, that's the ultimate show of love, if you're comfortable to be yourself in completeness.
I get that. I really get that. And I agree. Anyone that can, sit with their partner, their chosen person, and just be completely authentic, can be their real self, not feeling like they're treading on eggshells. Absolutely. I get that. So life sounds pretty good. You're in Ireland. And you say you went on to have three children together. Over what sort of time period, and what was marriage like sort of throughout that infancy? Because having kids is tough, right? But did it work out okay for you guys?
Yeah, marriage is, it's definitely a journey. It's tough. We had our first child in 2006, and they spread across up till 2011. All healthy, all well, just good, decent humans. I suppose as time went on, and my wife, she lost people close to her, or my ex-wife lost people close to her. And I suppose a lot of that brought up some struggles. And as time moved on, she wanted a larger house. So did I. And that's it. As a decision, we moved between child two and three to a larger house. And that was lovely. But I was working long hours, shift work. And I think then as time moved on with three children and all of that, my ex-wife started to struggle with her mental health and got to the stage where she wanted to move back to the UK to be close to family members. And that was a big decision, because it's not just one person or a couple. It's actually three kids who are school going age. It's a dog. It's selling a house and it's starting over again. And for me,
That's a lot.
it's a hell of a lot. So it was, so because all my family would have lived quite close by when we lived in Ireland, obviously I lost all that daily connection or weekly connection. So in 2015 we moved here to the UK and bought a house and started life again.
I mean, that is a huge move, as you say. Your whole life was geared around, being in Ireland. Big shift for you in the fact that it was your home, and I hear that your support network was around you there. But it sounds, just to go back over that, you say your wife had lost some people close to her, so it sounds as though she was grieving and going through that process. And was she the sole caregiver to your children? Did she work?
No, she was working as well in the healthcare industry, and very capable, competent worker. Suffered at times with, I suppose, depression and wasn't able to get to work. But that's okay because we all struggle at times. But I suppose I didn't have an option. I just had to work full time, and that was life.
How did you cope with her having, you say she had mental health issues, her depression. Was that after the children and around the grief? And I'm just curious as to how that kind of what went on with that between you both. Was it addressed ever?
Well, she did. She went and spoke with a doctor and got medication, and that. I'm not sure whether, because I often spoke with her about therapy, and I think during periods when she was in that place, it was very hard to connect emotionally. And I would have sat with her and spoke with her, and obviously your levels of intimacy and everything just fall away at that stage because she just wasn't motivated or interested. And that's as the other spouse, it's quite a lonesome place to be because you can't help it, especially one who wants to help everyone, and you can't help. You're quite isolated, and that's tough.
Right. And it is very difficult being able to be the support to a loved one who is suffering mental health issues, and then particularly a spouse, as you say, because you have needs too. Did she ever respond to that? Like, did she notice how much you were willing to do? Did she find it helpful, or did she find it suffocating ever? Or I'm just trying to build up a bit of a picture. Was it ever discussed?
I and it's a lot of this is down to communication style. So I would have those conversations, and I can recall several instances, like we'd sit down and have conversations, and I really would try and get my point across, and at times it would be met with, I suppose, she'd just close up, and she'd feel very sad for being the way she was, which is not what I wanted for her to feel. I wanted her to, share and just to get to a deeper level, just to, I don't know, just so I could understand. But I think ultimately she really felt sad inside, and that's, you can't fix that being an outsider.
And that's really hard for someone that wants to fix someone when you know that you cannot fix, you cannot rescue, which we can't to anybody as much as we want, can be highly frustrating, and can build that chasm. Thanks, Andy. So I'm really building up a picture of possibly what was going on for you and your relationship around this time. At this point, and I know obviously because of the title of this podcast, it is The Affair, but at this point, was there any suggestion or any concern around eyes or heads being turned outside of the marriage from either of you?
No, it's not for me. And because I wasn't in that place, I never expected her, because that's not the way my brain was working. I wasn't looking for it. I suppose that gets on to when we met the other people involved, and
Yes. Yes, so let's bring us on to that then. So at this point, so it sounds as though the relationship, there were a lot, it was fractured. It sounds as though you were both peddling to try and, keep this together, keep it sorted. You moved to the UK, and actually, I would love you to get on to sort of what happened then when you came to the UK and sort of where things took another step. At this point, though, with the move, you say you're having to travel back to Ireland for work. Was your wife happier within the relationship at this point? Had it worked, the move?
I think certainly in the early days, and there for moments right up to the end, it was working. She seemed much happier. She was exercising. She was getting involved in different running groups. Now that would be sporadic, but I suppose the family life, we were growing a friendship group as well. We all have life struggles, but aside from regular life struggles, life seemed to be settling in quite well. No, listen, we're all moody as well, and she would have a propensity to be moody at times, but that's part of life. You accept it all.
Well, you do, but I mean, and what I'm hearing is, logistically, geographically, kind of family structure, things were sort of better. But feels to me like a gaping hole around what was going on for your relationship at this point. Were you physically, I'm asking, were you physically intimate? Were you showing each other physical, emotional love in any way?
I think I always had a, I suppose, a more of an appetite for intimacy than her. But I thought because I didn't have an experience of any other long-term relationship, I assumed that this is normal life. This is, you accept what you're given. And it was a bit like, it might go on for a few weeks and then we'd be intimate, and then it might go push on for another into 2 months, and then there might be intimacy. And it became more of a bartering system as such,
Right.
which I wanted intimacy just to feel connection.
So when you say you'd got into a bartering system with being intimate, what was that?
I suppose for me, it shows my weakness as a human, but if I did more housework and brought her breakfast in bed or made her pancakes, I would, it, and this is so wrong of me, but it was in the hope that I would get some emotional connection, something that would feed into me a little bit. And I feel mean for saying it because it's not, you know.
Andy, can I stop you there?
Yeah.
I want this self, like, no, this inner self critic. I'm going to tell you, I often don't offer opinion on this, but I will when I think it's valid and needed. That's wrong. That's not wrong. It's not bad. It was what a good intention. Let's think about your intentions behind those actions. You just said it. I did all these things for my wife, making her breakfast, acts of service, because I wanted emotional intimacy. Andy, that's perfectly reasonable. And it shows that you wanted to connect. You wanted a connection with your wife. And what you were doing was actually using your emotional intelligence, your EQ, to figuring out and testing how can I connect with her? What works for her? What will she be receptive to? That, my friend, is everything fantastic. And you get a big tick and gold star from me on thinking outside the box and trying, as opposed to some people stonewall. They get aggressive and they get, excuse my language, shitty with someone for not, in inverted commas, sounds vulgar, putting out. You were actually doing everything you could, by the sounds of it, to try and tap into what might make her feel wanted and loved in order to create that connection. So I really would love you to correct that mindset you have around that.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
I'm a little telling off from
Okay.
me. Yeah, no, I want no more apologies around that, Andy, because I think what's becoming very clear, and I know my listeners will be thinking this too, is they're thinking this is a good guy. This is a man who cares. And trust me, a man who cares does not need to be apologizing for how they are attempting to show that. Okay. So you were trying, and when you say bartering, you're not bartering, you were just trying to connect. And did it work? I mean, did she feel, you know, more connected to you?
I don't know, because I'm probably looking at it through a different lens now, which is, and it's very difficult to take myself back into that emotional place where I was back then to where I am now. I know I wanted nothing more than to hold her in my arms until the day we died. But that wasn't my life. That wasn't my story to tell. And it didn't go that way.
No, I know it didn't, because of the way you started this. And, you know, listening to you, I just, oh, you're a good man, Andy. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, because I haven't spoken to your ex-wife. I don't know her. So I don't know what was going on for her as a therapist. I suspect there was a lot going on for her. But without obviously having that, you know, that other perspective, we will never know. So, but I'm hearing it from your perspective. And that's what's important today, because we, it's your feelings, it's your emotions, and it's your story. So you'd moved to the UK, you were trying your best to be intimate with your wife. It sounds like there was some intimacy, sexual, emotional. It was okay.
Yeah, it was like when we would connect really well. And I'm even talking from a conversation point of view. We could sit in bed and have just the most wonderful conversations. But even, I suppose, not moving too far forward, but moving towards the end of our days together, I even have messages there where I was just trying to say, listen, can we do a day date when the kids are in school and just go for a nice breakfast or a walk? Or just, I was trying to come up with all these ideas, because just to connect, just to have time together.
And you're going to get another tick from me, Andy, because that's exactly it. You're carving out time. And was she just not receptive to these ideas? What would she say when you suggested that?
Usually not respond
at all.
Yeah,
so it was just silence.
Yeah, there was no, and that's quite sad, because I feel maybe she was unheard, because she would just maybe she felt that she couldn't talk to me.
I'm going to have to trust your intuition on this one. You know, whether you feel it may have been that, it could have been stonewalling. So then, yes, bring us on to kind of what then started to shift. And you made friends with some other people, and there the tale starts to get a little bit complicated.
I'll use the word murky. Because our kids were primary school level, my eldest child became friends with this other child, and as a consequence, we became friends with the parents of that child. And as it would turn out, the dad in that situation was the other affair partner, or the affair partner. So we even during COVID, we set up a COVID friends group between the four of us. But there was a larger circle of friends as well, of five couples. And we'd go for dinner, and we'd organize going to the theater, and you know, and I think she became quite invested and enjoyed all of this. Subsequently, she would say, from the moment she met him 7 years prior, from the time we moved to the discovery date, that's when she found her attractiveness to him. And I never saw it. I just didn't see.
Well, you probably weren't looking for it, right?
Yeah. Other than maybe about 3 years after we moving here to the UK, we had a barbecue one night, it went on late, obviously. And this chap and his wife were leaving at about 11 o'clock. And it was my kids were actually still up. It was, you know, we were all up. And my ex-wife, she did pass comment. her brother, she only has one brother, and he was there as well. And she turned around, she gave this other chap a big hug and said, "You're like the brother I never had," when he was going. And it was a very, I didn't really pay that much attention to it at the time, but I do recall it, where it was a longer hug than normal. And I was going, it was a bit weird. And then it went. So there was no further discussion with it, really. But I just thought it, at that time, a little bit weird, but move on. And I didn't dwell on it. It was never discussed or anything.
But you just noticed, the little antenna noticed. And this is what I was saying. And people listening now, and our instinct is always correct. And when our instinct just picks up on these little cues, it's often when we, with the benefit of hindsight, we go, actually, maybe that was. Now, we can't go around spending our entire life second guessing little tiny cues left, right. Otherwise, we'd go start raving mad. But it is often in these situations that we look back and we go, oh, how did I not see, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it sounds fairly, you know, people can be tactile as well. You know, people can have a glass of wine and just, you know, get a bit too huggy, you know, that kind of thing. But obviously it is something that you just kind of, raise a momentary eyebrow. So take us into then how it started to evolve and develop and when, so, or if you started to notice anything change.
I think the first time actually that my antenna really went up, and I have it in my WhatsApp messages. So I suppose just to lead into this, in 2019, my ex-wife lost her remaining parent. And I suppose, like us all who would go through that, that's it's a grieving process. It's a difficult process. I think she became more distant after that and harder to connect with. And then it was in 2022 when the discovery was made. And it was funny, like our wedding anniversary was in the May, and it was, the discovery was in August. But actually, even in May, she put a post up on Facebook. I'm not a big Facebook person. I like Facebook Marketplace, but that's about it.
Oh, I can relate.
But she put, yeah, we all like buying other people's crap.
We do.
But she put this post up going, 17 years married, 20 years together, ups and downs, but always love.
Okay.
And that's like, I was getting these demonstrations of love. And for whatever issues or problems were there, I was still getting this level of affection. She became a little bit like, it was such a slow process that I didn't actually, it wasn't a light bulb. Things just slowly, there was a void. And I have messages where I sent to her saying, because I try and have the conversation to be shut down and say, there was one specifically and I read it and it just said, "I'm really feeling lonesome at the moment. I really feel like we need to connect and have a bit of time together." And it would just be ignored. It just wouldn't be addressed at all. So my birthday is in July. And on my birthday, she said, we had agreed not to give each other gifts, that we'll do something together. And I said, brilliant, I'm all on board for that. So I got a birthday card, and it was such a lovely note. And it was full of what I thought was genuine love, saying, "You're the best husband, you're brilliant." Probably looking back now, maybe it was a farewell note.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow. Okay.
So,
Because how soon after that then did you talk about the discovery? And just so we're all really clear, the discovery being you discovered she was having an affair.
yeah. So, it all, so what happened, so my birthday passed and I had to fly over and back because I was still traveling for work. But I was taking, we had a family holiday planned back to Ireland in the August, and that was our first time as a family being back in Ireland with the kids and with her, just so that we could all have a little bit of connection. Now, she has family back in Ireland still, but obviously the connection with her family was a bit disconnected, is the best way to put it. And I thought that she was not really in the best form because she was nervous about meeting my family, nervous about meeting her own relatives, because she wasn't great to keep in contact with them. And maybe that's what I put it down to. And I sent her a message in probably early August, because we'd message every day and every night, even if I was in Ireland, and it would be love you lots, hope you have a great day. And so, and it wasn't superficial. It was actually, from my point, it was real life. And it was, so obviously, can you go to Tesco and get milk and bread? Obviously, oh, there was a bit of that, but there was genuine connection, as I thought. So next thing, the kisses at the end of the messages stopped. And I thought, God,
Interesting.
that's weird. So I put it on the thing and I tried to be funny and say, I'm winning the competition of kisses this week. And no reply. So I said, oh, sorry, that may have sounded like I'm coming off as a bit of a a-hole. I apologize. Again, I jumped into apologizing for.
Yeah, you're bless you. You're exactly that. You jump into rescue mode when actually what you're trying to say, and if I was coaching you at the time, it would be frame that what you've noticed and what your concern is in a really just honest but genuine way. I've noticed you haven't put kisses on the end of my messages. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
And I get that you masked a lot of it through humor, and then when you were met with silence, you would then go, oh shit, have I crossed the line? And then you'd go into apologetic mode. And I would suspect that your wife possibly was very well versed in that
Yeah.
format. And I think that's really interesting. But how did that leave you feeling then? So you've noticed now she's not putting kisses on the end of text. And do you know what? I think this is really, thank you for framing this as well, Andy, because it is often these very small but very telling signs when we go, actually, hang on a minute, the writing on the wall is here. And it is. And I think it's, people might be thinking, gosh, why does Anna always drill down into the minutiae? Because it is often the minutiae that is what suddenly makes us go, ah. There we are. And it is. And I can see now she's withdrawing. She's withdrawn more. She's now starting to withdraw the actual kind of kisses on the end of messages, which it sounds to me as though, yes, she was making a very, this is me just guesstimating here, but she was making a very definite plan to pull away from you.
Yeah, I think at that stage she probably had already entered discussions with this other chap to in the marriages, and that's what I've learned subsequently. So, and there was one other key moment before we went on our family holiday, because that's where I made the discovery. We went out for dinner with our COVID friends, this other chap and his wife, and we went for dinner. And we sat either side. So I sat next to my ex-wife, he sat next to his ex-wife, and we sat either side of the table and had a nice dinner. And his wife went to the bathroom and she was sat opposite him. And he said, oh, why don't you sit across here to her, because you look like you're getting cold. And it's warmer over here. And she said, yes, I will. And she got up off her chair and walked around and sat next to him. And I, again, my brain going off, going, well, this is absolutely weird. Did I not see that she was shivering? Did I not see that she was cold? But I suppose a key point that I, at that stage, even though she was all nice in public scenario, we would walk into the house and I zero communication. She wouldn't even look at me. And if she did, it would be an argument. It would be just giving out to me for something. And I just, I was completely, I'd never experienced anything like this. And I didn't know how to, I didn't have the tools in my tool chest to try and understand it, not mind fix it.
Right. It sounds, and at this point, do you, even with the benefit of hindsight now, was she very much within this affair emotionally, physically, whatever at this point? No?
Yeah, it was, she was firing on all cylinders at this stage in her affair relationship.
Right. So just to help clarify that for you, her behavior is coming from guilt. How did it all come out?
So we were back in Ireland. It was our first family holiday since COVID. And we went to the beach and I had to park the car. So I messaged her. I drove down close to the beach so we could unload the kids and all the fun things that you bring with. And I said, she went down and I said, can you send one of the kids up with some change for the car parking? And she arrived up. And so that was fine. Kids are big at this stage. Well, 16 and down, so they're reasonably big at this stage. So she arrived up, gave me the money, paid for the parking. We were going past a little beach hut kind of cafe foodie place, and we were looking at the menu, going, "Oh, that'll be nice for lunch for the kids." And just kind of having that, those mom and dad type conversations. And yeah, we were walking down and it was a beautiful day. The kids were playing on the beach and I leaned in to give her a kiss and I gave her a kiss on the lips. And she turned around and she said, "That's inappropriate."
Wow.
And straight away, it was like all those thoughts in my head just came together and I said, "This is way wrong. This is really, something is really completely out of sync here." So she walked onto the beach ahead of me. I was walking behind and I was doing all my calculations. I was like young Sheldon. Everything was going on in my head, firing off. And we arrived on at the beach. And this is where you don't know how to react to a situation until you're in it. So she went to sit down next to my daughter. And I said, "Would you mind just standing up here? We need to have a conversation." And I went straight to the question. I said, is there something wrong? And she said, "Yes." I said, "Is it us?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Are we done?" And she said, "Yes."
Wow.
It was as simple as that for her. Three yeses and she was out.
Did the next question that came out, was it why?
I think by the time I had straightened up from convulsing, my tummy went into kind of, I felt like I was going to be sick. So I didn't actually, it's when I say I didn't even see it coming, I mean like it was a train hitting me at 100 miles an hour. I really, really, I was so naive not to see it. But I really didn't see it because I didn't think people could do that.
Andy, you were not naive. You were fully trusting and fully in your marriage. And I'm really not just saying this to people please you. I don't do people pleasing anymore. I am just, my job as a coach, as a therapist, and with this podcast is just to reflect what I'm hearing and what I know. You're not naive. You were somebody that was fully open and fully trusting and fully in. And you were not suspecting anything different from your wife. I'm curious to know, when you asked those three questions and the answer yes, particularly the "Are we done?" Was she quite quick at answering that?
Yeah.
Right. So that tells me that she had been waiting for you to confront this. This was not something that she felt able to do herself, but I think probably was waiting and wondering how this was going to actually happen. And I think you gave her the absolute get out that she needed.
I think the way she explained it afterwards, she said it was a great relief.
Yes.
I did ask the question then immediately, is there someone else? And I actually brought up his name.
Did you?
I did. I said, Is there someone else? She said, no. I said, are you having something going on with, mentioned his name? And she said, no. And I said, I went, there was three people in particular in my life who I still hold very dearly. And I contacted all three of them. I actually, stupidly, do you know what I did? I went up and I bought her and the kids ice creams from the shop while I was processing my thoughts.
Makes sense.
It's just, it seems nuts looking back on it, but that's what I did.
Because you were grappling for time, and to get your thoughts together, it makes sense.
So I went and I got the ice cream. I rang my brother, in actual fact, and he came on the phone straight away, and he said, is she having an affair? And I said, no. I said, she said not. He said, I don't believe it. I think she is. And he's more pragmatic than me. So I said, okay. So I went down, I sat on the beach next to her, and I said, here's my phone. I said, I've always given you access to everything on my phone. I said, can I look at yours? And she said, no. I said, right. Are you having an affair with someone else? And she said, yes. And it is him. And she said, the reason I didn't tell you is he was going back telling his wife. And I wanted to protect her. And I said, I can't use the words in my head, but I said, how effing dare you? How effing dare you? And I think that was one, the only times I ever cursed at her in my life. I was just so disgusted. And that's the word I'll use. It's strong, but it's how I felt.
And how you feel is justified. And what was it that made you feel that level of emotion? Was it the fact that she said she wanted to protect the wife?
I think it was just the compound lies on top of lies.
Mm.
It was when you know you're caught. And it's probably this is a measure of her behavior, because I don't know what goes on in her life, but it's full of defensiveness, and it's full of, and even when it comes to dealing with children and all that, like, it's just, everything is just such a defensive mechanism. I look back as a person and go, how was I there for 20 years? How did I survive that? Not mind the affair. How did I survive that marriage?
Right. Often when we're in the eye of the storm, we can't see it. You know, we can't, you know, for many things in life, whether it's an affair, whether it's in a mental breakdown, whether it's extreme stress, you know, whether it's grieving, when we're actually in the eye of it, we cannot comprehend it until we come out. And the benefit of space, of time, of dissociating, as we call it, we suddenly go, bloody hell, what was that? You know, because we're too close to it.
Yeah.
And we need the space to be able to see it from a different perspective. So I'm curious, did she say sorry?
It was a sorry with a but.
That's not a sorry. Any apology that has a but after it is not an apology. What did she say?
I'm sorry, but you can't hold it against me just because I had an affair.
Okay. How did you respond to that?
You can't really come up with anything to fix that, can you?
Not really, no. What did you do, Andy? You were on a beach with your kids. Your wife has just said this. You had no suspicions until, because you were fully in, trusting. Remember, we're not beating ourselves up about that, because that's a wonderful character trait. It's a fantastic character trait. It just unfortunately bit you on the backside on this occasion, you know, with this relationship. What happened next? What were your thoughts on him? You were there eating ice creams.
Essentially we loaded up the car. By the time I'd returned with the ice creams, she had actually told my daughter that.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't get over it. I think that part of that just, it was, she told my daughter that she was
having an affair, that the marriage was over and she was going to be with this man. And my daughter had actually rang me while I was in the shop going, "Are you okay, Dad?"
So what happened after all that, Andy? I mean, my goodness, my heart goes out to you. It sounds absolutely devastating. What physically then happened when you got home? You know, did she move out? Like, how do you recover from this?
I suppose, curiously enough, life goes on and you need to keep going. I got my kids into therapy. I used welfare resources in work for myself because my kids were too young, my parents were too old. And I didn't have my same support system around me because I'd only been a few years in the UK and I needed somewhere that I could freely talk and express how I felt. We moved back. I said to her, we'll go home. I had the discussions going, can we save the marriage? I messaged that man to say, can you please, as a father, as a dad, as a human being, and as a friend, can you step back from my marriage and let me see? And his reply to me was, okay, I will, but if she messages me, I'm going to respond. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's a bit half-arsed. And I actually truly believe I had more insight at that stage than I actually give myself credit for. I said, to be perfectly honest, I said, you're in a bubble with my wife and you feel nobody will be affected and everybody will get over and all the roses are clear in the garden. But it's not. This is real life. You have broken two families and you need to take responsibility for that.
Go on, Andy.
Yeah, and he never has. He's just pathetic. I won't give him any credit other than to say he's a pathetic individual. I know that sounds like I hate him, but I just never want to have anything to do with him, if I'm perfectly honest.
Andy, you're such a nice guy. It would be perfectly fine for you to hate him, but I'm really pleased you don't, because actually when we have hate and we have anger, all we do is actually damage ourselves with that. It's such a lot of emotion to pour into somebody. Andy, you've been through the absolute ringer with this. So, and it sounds as though at all times, you know, you were taking care of the children. You mentioned about getting them into therapy. How are you now? And what is the situation now?
I've thought hard about this. I'm okay and I'm happy. I think from a relationship, I got into a relationship when I came out of my marriage. And I think that was purely, I think, a bit of a survival mechanism. I just wanted to feel somebody values me. Somebody will want this. And it was I ended that relationship because I could look into the future and it wasn't what I needed at that particular time in life. It's not what I want for me.
It was a rebound relationship.
I would love to be able to love at the same depth again, but because it leaves such a mark on you, I think it would take someone very, very special to actually, for me to completely and utterly open my heart open again. Mm-hmm. I think it would take something particularly special for that to happen.
But that makes sense, doesn't it, Andy? Because you're bruised and because someone broke your trust and someone questioned really your values and your integrity and your respect in a marriage that and a relationship that you were in 100%. So have you been able to, it sounds quite promising from my perspective with the little that you've just said around, you know, you've processed, into just feeling quite pathetic about you know, them. Have you done any other work around, you know, working through this, which is also grief? It's a loss. It's a loss of a relationship. And we mustn't ever underplay the magnitude that can have on our emotions and our self-esteem.
I'm pretty uncomplicated, thankfully. I don't have a lot of worries. I've changed career. Well, I retired from my first career. Now I'm on a second job. And I absolutely love it. And I get to listen to podcasts, and I've got an empty mind at times, which is beautiful. I recommend it.
I love that for you. I love that. And how would you say what's your setup now with your children, you know, with your lifestyle?
So, yeah, I obviously the family home was sold. We bought separate houses and the kids kind of go between both houses. Thankfully, I'm very close with my kids. We have a really, really good, strong bond. I'm sure her relationship with the kids that's hers to manage, and I've accepted that. They don't want anything to do with her new life. And that's created problems for her, I'm sure. But it's that's just life. If you eat the apple, you have to digest it.
And you're doing just fine, Andy. And you have a wonderful, wonderful heart. And I really hope that you get to share that with someone, because they will be a very lucky person.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andy, by way of closing the podcast today, thank you for sharing everything you've been through. Is there anything you do differently?
I don't think there's much I could have changed. The only thing I would say, and this is because there are multiple people in affairs playing multiple parts, and all I would say is, just from my point of view and what worked, and I've said this before we started chatting, I've read back on some of the messages that I would have sent to friends, some of the notes I've made to myself, and I kept them because I wanted to read them and look at the person that I was then, when I was so shattered and broken, and I mean shattered, to where I am now. And it's actually really, I'm quite proud of where I am. And anyone who's going through this, just be assured it will get better. Just be patient and just know that if you do right, good things will happen.
Have you forgiven her?
I feel sad for her, because I wouldn't trade places with her for gold.
Poignant. Andy, you have been a breath of fresh air. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I think brace yourself for a barrage of messages of people declaring their love for you. Consider me an Andy fan. Thank you for being a decent man, having that integrity. I can see it's emotional, but you're a good person. You know what? Crappy things happen, but never ever let that dampen your spirit and what you stand for, because we need more of you in this world. Okay.
Thanks, Anna.
And I am sorry for what you've been through, but I'm so proud of you, as cheesy as that might sound, for getting through it and not being some bitter, twisted person as a result of it. Keep that hope, keep that love, and keep everything you've got, because you've got your three children and I know you have the best to come.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Affair Podcast. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's episode, please see the show notes for organisations who can offer support and advice. Don't forget to subscribe so you are the first to know when a brand new episode drops. But until then, I'm Anna Williamson and this has been The Affair. The Affair is hosted by me, Anna Williamson, produced by Naomi Channel, and is a Curve Sounds production.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.